This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, October 25th. ARRL's Committee on Communication with ARRL Members has opened new online forums where all radio amateurs, ARRL members, and non-members alike can discuss issues and topics in two-way conversation with ARRL leadership. The new groups are aimed at enhancing communication among ARRL leadership, staff, members, and prospective members in a manner that enables timely updates and collegial discussion. ARRL has added 3 online groups, ARRL Contesting at groups.arrl.org/g/ARRL-contesting, ARRL Awards at groups.arrl.org/g/ARRL-awards, and ARRL IARU at groups.arrl.org/g/ARRL-IARU. In the months ahead, the committee envisions creating more online groups to support two-way communication, focusing on areas of additional interest to radio amateurs, including ARRL activities, services, initiatives, and policies. ARRL currently hosts members-only online forums that include awards and contesting. While these forums will continue to operate, participants will be encouraged to post new threads in the appropriate new groups. The FCC has denied a petition for rulemaking to amend Part 97 station identification rules to better accommodate and simplify station identification during emergency nets, drills, or activations. ARRL member Robert Dukish, KK8DX of Canfield, Ohio, had sought a change to the rules to allow a single point of transmission for station ID on those occasions. He proposed permitting a net control station or other designated participant to announce the call signs of every station taking part in the net or exercise when tactical call signs often are in use at 10-minute intervals using automatic CW identification. In turning down Dukish's petition, Scott Stone, the deputy chief of the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau's Mobility Division, said commenters overwhelmingly opposed the proposal. Stone said some commenters asserted that Dukish's proposed procedure would be unworkable and cause confusion, while others characterized his proposal as a solution in search of a problem. Dukish had filed his petition in December 2018, and the FCC invited comments on it in February 2019. More than 50 amateur radio emergency service and auxiliary communication service volunteers donated some 500 hours of their time to support public safety at the Miramar Air Show, the largest in the U.S., on September 27th through 29th in San Diego, California. Miramar served as the shooting location for the 1986 film Top Gun. Performances by the U.S. Navy Blue Angels and the British Royal Air Force Red Arrows drew large crowds that strained public safety services at the annual event. Working daily 12-hour shifts, ARES operators continuously patrol the crowds looking for airshow guests in distress with heat exhaustion and for lost family members, while ACS hams liaised with law enforcement agencies and kept information flowing between agencies. High noise levels from low-flying aircraft were challenging. During a barbecue break, volunteers compared notes about whose noise-canceling headphones worked best, as well as how to secure the transceiver connections and to avoid open mics. Over the weekend of October 5th and 6th, 32 amateur radio volunteers from the Southeast Louisiana Amateur Radio Club, the Southwest Mississippi Amateur Radio Club, and the Southeast Louisiana ARES supported the Bike MS That's How We Roll event. The tour provided 267 volunteer hours in support of the annual multiple sclerosis bike ride from Hammond, Louisiana to Percy Quinn Park, Mississippi and back. The hams used VHF and UHF repeater systems to provide communication for safety, logistics, and medical teams along the route on the backcountry roads of Louisiana and Mississippi. Event sponsors, staffers, and friends and families of the cyclists, as well as the cyclists themselves, expressed their appreciation for the work of the ham radio volunteers and were impressed with the capabilities of amateur radio. In DX news, there are several operations that will be wrapping up over the next several days, including FG4KH on Guadalupe, 5K0K on San Andres and Providencia, FH-DJ7RJ on Mayotte, and S79CI in the Seychelles. You still have about a week to catch the VP6R expedition to Pitcairn Island, D68CCC in the Comoros Island, and 3W9QR in Vietnam. If you enjoy chasing special event stations, listen for NC4PC this weekend from the Topsail Missiles and More Museum on Topsail Island, North Carolina. They'll be active on SSB and CW. See the October issue of QST Magazine for complete details.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
To their surprise, a letter made its way back and said, sure. Three members of the team hopped on a plane with their special passenger that they actually paid for a seat and was on the manifest as Mr. Oscar. It took several years for the approval to be received, and by then, the batteries of that time had died. The batteries were replaced, and the satellite made its trip to space and was operational on January 23, 1970. The Australian government did not want to be outdone by a group of hams, and they were able to build a satellite and launch it before the hams got theirs into orbit. This made the hams the first in Australia to build a satellite and the second to launch one. That was not the hams' only first. Because of the experiments on the satellite, they were actually the first non-U.S. amateur satellite, the first university satellite, the first non-government secondary payload launched by NASA, the first amateur radio satellite launched by NASA, the first 10-meter HF transmitter flown on an amateur satellite, the first telemetry system flown on an amateur satellite, the first command system flown on an amateur satellite, the first PMASS, or Magnetic Stabilization and Orientation System, the first use of standard orbits, a method for predicting passes, and the first time that satellite predictions had been transmitted from a computer to users via radio without human intervention. Congratulations to Australia's Oscar 5 for pioneering so many wonderful things in the early days of amateur satellites. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL propagation forecast for Friday, October 25th. There are no spots on the sun, and we have a very low solar flux index this week at just 64. According to spaceweather.com, this ranks as the deepest solar minimum in the last 60 years and the lowest solar flux index ever recorded. That said, amateurs with low-band capability are still having a blast. The Pitcairn Island de-expedition has been widely heard on 160 and 80 meters during the overnight and morning hours, even on the U.S. East Coast. On VHF and UHF, those tropo openings in western Oregon that we reported last week are still taking place, and some of these are pretty intense. The forecast is also promising strong activity in southern Texas and Louisiana.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.